And Kathy Dawes now with a couple of folks from the Kansas Farm Bureau. And, of course, we have Director of Communications Marketing Megan Kramer with us. And Glenn Bronco, he is from Pottawatomie County and a board member. And welcome both of you. And I know we heard some from you last week from the meeting. We sent Sam Henney over your way, and he was able to chat with both of you between meetings and between sessions. But thought we would go back and update folks a little bit more on how that convention went and some of the highlights of topics that were covered. And okay. Megan, we'll let you lead off.
All right. Well, this was our 99th annual meeting, so next year will be a really big celebration. Actually, it will we'll celebrate for more than a year, I think, so it'll be really good. But we had, just like every year, a great group of farmers and ranchers from all over the state come to Manhattan, where we had workshops and speakers on Monday, and we awarded county farm bureaus for the work that they do throughout the year, too. And then Tuesday, the business session got underway, and they told us what they want us to work on 2018, and so we'll use that as we move forward next year. We did recognize some folks throughout the state. Some local people were the Mertzes.
I just saw them last night at a get-together, so wonderful couple.
Yeah, so it was for Harold and Jean, so that would be the mother and father of the Mertzes. They both passed away, but it was really neat to honor them for all the work that they've done, not only around here, but also throughout the state. They started the One Farmer Feeds, and you've seen them all over the state now, so that was really
neat. We hope to get Bob and Mary in a little bit later this week to talk some more about, although Bob was being very humble about it at this gathering and said, well, it wasn't really my story, but no.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get him in.
Great family. And then Warren Parker was a staffer who retired, but we recognized him for his 28 years of service, too. And so those were some local folks, but we recognize people in counties from all over the state just for the work they do on behalf of the organization throughout the year.
And every county was represented?
Yes, for the most part. I'm not sure every county, but we have 105, and, you know, there were a few here and there that weren't there, but overall, yes.
So some are clear out there, so I can understand that, too. Well, Glenn, of course, you were reelected to the board, and what that's all about, some of the things that you came away from the meeting with.
Well, yeah, and I can't say how much of an honor and how privileged I've been to serve on the board. And I really appreciate the trust that the first district has put into me. But it was a wonderful time, a great time to meet and greet with some old friends, some people we don't see, you know, some of those from the far reaches of the state, and talk about ag issues, talk about the farm economy, talk about things coming up, and it's always good to get together with other farmers and ranchers and know that there's somebody else out there that understands what you're going through. So from the social aspect, you know, I can't say enough, but we did get a lot of really good work done and got our policy set for the upcoming legislative year.
Megan, maybe some of the highlights. I mean, I know there's always policies that you're concerned with. We frequently talk to both Senators Pat Roberts and Jerry Moran and also Congressman Roger Marshall. I know Pat Roberts in particular has talked about concerns about the farm bill or the lack of one thereof. Mm-hmm. But some of the things maybe that came up during this state meeting.
So one thing that we hit really hard on, and I know our members are really engaged on and interested in, is trade agreements. So we pushed really hard getting our members engaged. We sent emails not only to our delegation, who we feel really lucky understands where we're at and how important those are, but also to President Trump and to Wilbur Ross and some other folks to say, this is very important. We need you to get these done. So that was something that we really hit on and tried to drive that message home, and they're all very much engaged. And that's something that I think we're going to see a lot of work continue on. What other issues, Glenn? Farm bill definitely was a hot topic, but it seems like that is every year.
Yeah. But this year especially, with the we should be writing a new one this upcoming year. Yeah, NAFTA is by far and away the largest issue for us right now, especially given the condition of the farm economy right now, and to potentially lose ground with some of our biggest trading partners is potentially devastating. The tax bill got some talk, generally that looks like it's going to be pretty favorable towards ag, so we're hopefully optimistic with that, if that sounds okay. you know, and water issues within the state. as far as a state topic, those are in school finance. Those are the biggest issues.
Back to NAFTA, and I'm looking at a release from Senator Moran's office, but of course NAFTA standing for North American Free Trade Agreement. And really, what does that mean for right here in Kansas? I mean, seriously.
It's huge for us. A great amount of the products that we produce are traded with Mexico and Canada. They're by far our two biggest trade partners. Where a lot of our beef, our grains, our feed grains go to, and we rely so heavily on that agreement to move those products across the borders. And you know, it's up to us to let President Trump know and the administration know how important that agreement is to us and to agriculture in general.
Megan, I'm looking at some numbers here, and maybe they sound a little familiar to you, but Kansas exported more than $4.5 billion worth of agricultural products last year, which supported more than 36,000 jobs, generated more than $5.7 billion in economic activity. It's huge for Kansas.
Right, and 36% of that goes to Canada and Mexico, so it's a huge deal for our farmers and ranchers. And just like Glenn was saying, when the markets are down, you don't want down markets and then nowhere to sell those things to. And so, you know, it's vitally important that we're okay with updating it and renegotiating it, but to just walk away completely is not something that we want to see.
Megan, I've sat in this very room with Glenn and also Bob Mertz and Melissa Wall and talked a lot about things are real tough right now for farmers. I mean, did you see that statewide?
So I actually saw a lot of hope this year. I mean, I feel like people are, I think you have to be optimistic to be a farmer, so I am going to say that. But I felt like people came away hopeful, knowing that their farm organization is working really hard on these issues that do impact them, so they have a friend there. And then also talking to neighbors and friends saying, yep, we're in the same boat, we're going to get through this, you know, there's options out there. And Glenn can probably speak to it better from the farmer perspective.
Yeah. Right at the end of the tunnel, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we hope it's not a train. But no, you know, as an ag producer, you're eternally optimistic. We're the only ones that start our business out not having any idea what the price is going to be at the end of the season. And so you have to be optimistic. And we don't do it for the money. We do it because this is what we love to do. But it does certainly help to have friends to commiserate with and to talk about. And for the most part, what we heard gave us hope, gave us a reason to keep pushing on. And you know, we've been through these times before, and we've come out stronger and leaner and meaner, and that's what we're going to do this time.
And, of course, you deal both with livestock and crops, so you see it from both aspects that way, too.
Exactly. And from the crop or from the livestock point, this has been a decent year, not a great year, but a decent year. The crops, personally, we had pretty good yields, but the prices were pretty depressed. So, you know, we do what we can. We limit the costs on one end and try to get as good a price as we can on the other. But you have to be optimistic.
And Megan, I know, of course, with being with the Kansas Farm Bureau, you see quite a variety with eastern Kansas when you get clear out to the west, Garden City, Goodland area. There are different crops. There's different types of weather. I mean, there's all sorts of different factors when you work across a larger, like a state like this.
Yeah, it is very interesting to see how diverse they are. And I think when we get everybody together, too, they realize, oh, yeah, you know, they know things are different, but okay, so I'm worried about this particular issue and you're worried about this particular issue. I think that water is a really great example of how different it is across the state. Out west, it's very dry. They've got the Ogallala Aquifer to worry about. Out here, it's more wet. So, you know, you still got things to worry about.
Blue-green algae.
Yeah, blue-green algae, the siltation of our reservoirs, those kind of things. But yeah, different water issues, but it's important to understand how those affect other producers across the state.
And, you know, I have to confess, because I usually keep up with agriculture. I grew up in Atchison, by the way, so I'm a Kansan and grew up in that area. My dad did a little light farming. He liked to proclaim that he was, because he grew a little bit of wheat and sometimes corn, varying. But I didn't realize cotton is starting to come into the picture in parts of Kansas. That was interesting. I saw a Wire story on that in the last month or so. So, Glenn?
Well, you know, in a past life, I was an extension agent in Harper County, and that was about the first year. That would have been about 22 years ago. About the first year they grew a lot of cotton down there, and it's really blossomed into a good option for our producers down there. It takes a little less water, you know, a good alternative to wheat and maybe grain sorghum.
Interesting. Now, I know Glenn at the national level. You've when you go to some of the national conventions, too, and what's it like to take it from the state level where you get to know some of your colleagues around the state all the way up to the national?
It's the same thing, but on a larger scale. And, it is really interesting to learn about the agriculture across the United States and how that varies and how different we are, but how similar we are also. You can stand in at the American Farm Bureau Convention, you can stand in the hallway and listen to conversations. And while it may be strawberries or, sugarcane, you name anything that we don't grow here, the general gist of the conversation is the same. So,
Megan, how much interaction do you have with some of the other states in your role?
So it's a really great connection to stay in contact with them because maybe they're trying something that we need to try. Obviously, the issues are different. But the membership is the same. We all struggle with the urban-rural divide and getting everybody together on the same page. We are very connected with other states because it just makes sense. We're all fighting the same battle, and we're stronger together than we are apart. So, yep.
Let's go ahead and take a break. It's now about 9:30, and again, we have with us today Kansas Farm Bureau Director of Communications and Marketing Megan Kramer and also Board Member Glenn Bronco from Pottawatomie County. We'll take a break, come back and talk some more with these two, and 537-1350 if you have questions or comments.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S.